should be worshiping all of the time. There are special times where we are aware of him, special times where we come face to face with the reality of who he is. And so today I ask that this be one of those special times, that you would come face to face with the reality of who God is, who Jesus is, and allow the Spirit of God to move in, through, and around you in a very special and real way, so that this marks your life. Our scripture reading today comes from Daniel, the third chapter, starting at the 14th verse. It's fascinating. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than what he heated.
And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace.
Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, may we never lose the wonder of your word, the wonder of your presence, the wonder of what you do in the lives of those that are committed unto you. Oh Lord, today fill us with awe, fill us with a sense of your presence, a sense of your amazing goodness, a sense of your crazy power, a sense of you. Have your way here in this place, Lord. You are welcome. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got another song, don't you?
What's that?
You have another song, don't you?
No. No, we're no, really, I don't.
Okay. You just kind of look like you don't.
Because I need a rest. Yeah.
Tell me. What do? When you face your grave, what do? When you are in a situation where it looks like the next place you will be is in your grave, never to come out again? What do you think? What's on your mind? What's on your heart when you face the situation that looks like it should be the end according to the world? Do you realize? I love one interesting thing that you go through. Every city you go, every place you go, one of the most beautiful places is the cemetery. I mean, it's well manicured. It looks good. It has flowers and I love art, so I love to see some of the wonderful statues and carvings and things like that. And it looks like people really cared for it. It's just such an amazing thing. Where the grave is the potential for there to be gardens. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But do we approach life with an attitude? Do we approach life thinking that what the world says will be our grave is really a garden? Let's pray. Father, I am at a loss for words at times in your presence because I'm so in awe of your goodness, so in awe of your grace, so in awe of the different perspective that you give, the way that you approach things. Help us today to see you in a fresh light so that the threats of the world will no longer keep us from being the men and women that we have been called to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the great accounts out of the Bible, I don't like to call them stories, I like to call them accounts because I want you to understand how real this is. It's an account of what God is doing through people. It's an account of how the providence of God is working. And one of the really neat ones is one that I remember from a little boy. I still remember this song. There was a guy named Brooke Benton. My mother and father used to play this religious album by Brooke Benton, and he used to sing about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I used to love that song, and they would just be playing that. It was like a party in our house when they played that. It was just he just had this mellifluous voice, and it was just an amazing thing. And I thought about what he was celebrating with that song. He's celebrating this account, this story here in the third chapter of Daniel. We're going to start at verse 1 in the third chapter of Daniel because you got to get this picture. Remember, Daniel had been elevated to just running the whole place for this foreign king that had that had kidnapped him and his friends, but Daniel refused to act like everybody else and wanted to keep in remembrance who he was supposed to be. And so he was elevated. And his friends were elevated. And then we come to chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now, it's really interesting about this image of gold. I think this is attached to what Daniel had told him about how things were going to go in the future, that there would be this image, the top part would be gold, and then there would be another kind of metal, and then there would be another kind of metal, and each succeeding group would be weaker and more fragile. But Nebuchadnezzar says, I ain't gone yet. So he builds this image, this golden image. The height was 60 cubits and the breadth 6 cubits. So it was probably 90 feet tall and wide. It was an amazing thing. He set it up in the plain of Dura, not in the capital city where you would find Daniel most of the time, but he set it in the Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. He was making sure that all of his leaders were in line with his running things. Now, in secular history of Babylon at this time, there was a record that there had been an attempt at an uprising about 10 years in. And it appears that Nebuchadnezzar is just making sure that everybody's in line here. We're going to make sure that this works out. And the princes, verse 3, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages." Everybody, fall in line. "That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king have set up." I want you to pledge your allegiance. "And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." It's probably like a high mound where down the top you put in it. They probably used this to smelt the metal that they built this image with. And so there would be a top that you could drop things into. And there's probably a side door that you could see into. And it was just probably an amazing scene. "And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, They spake and said unto the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. We're on your side. Live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Everybody's supposed to do that, king. You know that. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You remember what you said, right? There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They're not even saying they're doing a bad job. They're not saying that they aren't getting things right, but they just won't worship what you want them to worship. They're not into this polytheistic thing. They worship only their God. You know, it's not much different today. People don't care if you name the name of God. I think they don't even care if you name the name of Jesus. It's only when you say that is the only name, the name above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And no matter how important you think your little idols are, I can't bow to that. I can't bow to something that is not in line with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will not be bound by anything but Jesus. But these folks were saying, look, they're not bowing down to your image. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was not crazy. He hadn't forgotten that these men were important to his most trusted advisor, Daniel. He hadn't forgotten what great things he'd already seen out of them. He hadn't forgotten that. So he wants to give them a chance. He's putting on a show right now, showing that he's the king. He's the powerful one. You know, the community will do that to you. They will try to get you to bow down. They're not saying you can't love the Lord, but you got to love this too. You kind of have to come our way, too. You kind of have to agree with the things that we want. At least don't speak against them. How dare you think that you could stand against what we believe? There's a lot of that today. There's a lot of pressure for you to believe the way the world believes and not to speak against that. So Nebuchadnezzar's scaring them now. And they brought these men before the king. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Oh, this can't be true. Come on now, guys. You know me. I know you. You have been faithful. You have been good. You do a good job. It can't be true what these people are saying about you. But listen, let's forget about the past. Let's forget about what might not have or might have happened. Let's see if you can get it right now. So he says, now, if you're ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. That's good. Well, but if you worship not, hear me now, if you worship not which I have made, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Do you really think that your God is close enough to you, and you're close enough to him, and he's strong enough that he's going to operate in my territory and take you out of my hands? How much do you believe? How much do you believe that God is able to keep you? Or you just, you know, it just sounds nice to say you believe in Jesus. It just sounds nice to say that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. It just sounds nice to say that he's sovereign. It just sounds nice to say that he's creator. It just sounds nice to say that he is over all things. It sounds really good. But when it comes down to it, when push comes to shove, do you actually believe? You see, sometimes we look at this Christian thing, and I think we take it a little lighter than we should. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then he lays out how we are to live. He lays out who we are to be. He lays out the power that's working in us. There's power in you. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. But I'm telling you, sometimes you don't experience that power if you're not willing to die. So verse 15 again. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, when you hear the noise of the world, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to take a long time to think about this thing. We want you to know something. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Do you think God is able to keep you in the situation that you're in right now? Do you think he's able to keep you in the face of any trouble that might come to you? Do you think he's able to keep you when hard times are pressing in on you? Do you think he's able to keep you when you are facing that grave? He is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He can keep us from this reality. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O Lord. O King, you need to understand, he's going to deliver us one way or the other. Whether it be death or by life, you are not in control when it comes to this. But if not, if he decides that he is not going to save my body, but if not, if he decides that he's going to let me die, but if not, if my situation doesn't get any better, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Have you made it up in your heart that in spite of the circumstance that you are faced with, the reality that you are faced with, have you made it up in your mind that you will not serve any other God? Have you made your mind up? Or you say, well, but this circumstance is pressing this way. This thing is going on and it's hurting me this way. This stuff is pushing on my life, and it's not that I'm running away from God. It's just I don't want to go through that. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Sometimes the world gets mad. He was full of fury, and the form of his visage which changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's not talking nice to him anymore. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was supposed to be heated. It was hot. It was so very hot that look what happens here. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. I can imagine, here you are, you're the king's man, and you're getting ready to put somebody to death for the king. And you trying to get close to the thing, and you know, this guy's like nuts. I know I've got to do this thing. I don't want to do this, but the closer you get, it's hot. And while you're trying to throw them in, you catch fire. Could you imagine that? They're throwing them in and they catch fire. They just combust. And they're screaming and they're hollering and it's horrible. And these men, the king's good, strong men, die as they're trying to put others to death. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The king wanted to show that we're going to take everything about you and destroy it. There will be nothing left of you. I'm going to destroy you for not going along with my program. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Sometimes, when you're doing just what you should do, it gets hard. You're doing just what you should do. No, I'm not going to do what the world would have me to do. No, I'm not going to live that way. No, I'm not going to give up on what I believe. I'm not going to. I refuse to do that. And you would think, oh, good. I'm just delivered and everything's just wonderful. Whee! No. No. Sometimes when you do right, it hurts. Sometimes when you do right, it does not feel good and it does not look good. It looks like you've ruined it all. All those gifts that God has given you, all the things that have blessed you, all of the stuff now, it's all at risk. You could lose it all. Your very life could be taken away from you. There they were, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But then something happened. Nebuchadnezzar was standing back, probably looking in that side portal just to see what's happening, saying, I want people to know what it's like to talk against me. I want people to know what it's like to come against me. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He was astonished. He was amazed. He was, wow, what am I seeing? You ever look at something and you're not quite sure what you're seeing? You're maybe like riding down a road and you see something, but you're just not quite sure what it is? This is how he is. He rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, See, he's got all these witnesses around. He had to do this to show them he's the tough guy, that you can't mess with him. He had to show them what it was to stand against him. And he's talking to his counselors and he said, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Didn't we throw some men into this fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king, that's just what we did. We're right here with you, threw them all in there. And he answered and said, lo, will you check this out, guys? I see four men. They're loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And that fourth one, he looks like the Son of God. He looks like one of the gods. There's four men in that fire and they're walking around and they don't look like they've been hurt. You see, sometimes right in the midst of what the world has designed to hurt you will just prove that he's got you. He's got you. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. There's something special about y'all. You servants of the Most High God. See, the world ought to know in every situation you are a servant of the Most High God. There should never be a question in anybody's mind. You are a servant of the Most High God. Come forth. Would you come here, please? And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the whole world, the governors, everybody, and captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. This world doesn't have any power over you. Stop giving it power over you. Stop pretending it has power over you. Nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You couldn't tell they had been in a fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have set his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Really, does the world look at you that way? Do they praise God because of the way that you've responded in the situations that you're in? I know. I look around this room and I see tough situations. I see hurt and pain. I see frustration. I see challenges. I see so many things. Does the world, when they look at you and see the stuff that you've gone through, glorify our Father in heaven? "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." And guess what? This is the funny one to me. "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." Because they stood for what was right. Do you stand for what is right? I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Are you afraid to stand on his word? Are you afraid to believe in him? Are you afraid to believe that he has got you, that he can keep you, that he will hold you? Some of us have gone a long way. We've come a long way. And I know that we've come a long way. But it's like, I don't know if I can take another step. I don't know if I can go any deeper. I don't know if he can keep me any further. Can he keep you? Can it keep you now? Can it keep you now when it's not like you would have liked it to be? Can it keep you now when it's harder, when it's busier? Can it keep you now when you have so much to lose? You know, sometimes we stop trusting God because he's given us so much. And like we're worried about this stuff. We got to hold on to it. He's given me good this and good that. And if I give any more to him, then I'll lose it all. I have way too much more to say. But I think God is done. Would you pray with me? Father, this day we surrender ourselves. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He's Savior because when I was lost, when I could not help myself, when I did not know Jesus, before the foundation of the world, he chose me at an appointed time. He drew me to himself that I might be with him throughout eternity. I believe Jesus is my Savior. But I also believe he is my Lord. He has the right to tell me what to do, when to do, how to do. And when I speak, I want to speak in line with the truth of the good news of the gospel of Christ, that the King has come and is coming again. He's in charge. He is Lord over all. The world threatens, and I don't care, because I am God's, and he is mine. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for making it so that we are not ashamed of the gospel, but we believe that it is the power of God to us. Thank you for changing us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is moving in your life, feel free to come to the altar if you choose. Pray.